to you about a number of things tonight, and we'll get to the scripture here in a bit. Of course, this is, I want to mention to those that are watching online, there's one or two people. We got a national audience. I think there's one or two people that watch pretty regular. We won't be live streaming for the weeks that we're in the gymnasium, just because it's going to be too difficult to move the camera and everything down there. We will be posting the audios, the messages online, so you're aware of that, and Jeff will post that online. But tonight we start the OAR. We're going to the OAR. All right. Yeah, we sound like we're right uptown, don't we? Operation Auditorium Renovation. And looking forward to that. And I'm planning on 3 weeks, two Sundays, being in the gym. Hopefully we'll be back here after those two Sundays. And, you know, I was just thinking this afternoon, it's I'm not sure if it's a curse or a blessing that I grew up doing construction work. I get a lot of advice, but I really feel more comfortable doing construction work than I do preaching. I feel more comfortable in these clothes than I do in preacher's clothes. But I'm grateful that we can do this, and we can save a lot of money by doing it ourselves. And the more helpers we have, the better it will be. And I'll just say this, that I'm planning on, of course, my plans change from day to day. I'm planning on working at least every afternoon and every evening, unless something comes up. Things will come up, but I'm typically more available in the afternoon and evenings. I've been driving a bus once in a while, so sometimes I have to disappear for that. But if you could help out, make sure you talk to me before you just show up and start doing things, because I don't want to have to redo things, all right? I just want to mention a few things. I jotted some things down, and I can't remember what I'm not going the right order here already. But I have determined this, that, you know, in the past when we've done construction jobs around here, I usually start before the sun comes up and get done about 12, 14, 16 hours later and go home. But sometimes we don't have time to pray like we should. I don't have time to study the Bible, and I'm going to determine to make my priorities right. I'm not going to cut back on my prayer life. I may cut back on sleep, may cut back on eating, but I'm not going to cut back on my study time. In fact, I'm still planning on knocking on doors throughout the week, and anytime you want to do that, well, I'd be more than that happy to take you with me. But we'll be doing that and keeping things right, and anytime you can help, I'd be more than happy to give you a job. Just let me know ahead of time so I can give you something to do, so we can line that up. So we'll be going over more details in a little bit. After we dismiss, we'll give everybody a job to do tonight, whoever can stick around. And we ask, is there something for the ladies to do? Well, it depends on how much you can do as a lady. We're trying to get some jobs done also besides what's being done in here. And there are some things that there's something for everybody to do. So. I want to say this, and I want to spend some time focusing on something. There's something I want to introduce to you tonight, but I am not evolving. In fact, nobody's evolving. The world's not evolving. Everyone's devolving, true science says. I'm not evolving, but I am seeking to be transformed in the image of Jesus Christ. Amen? I don't need more character and discipline. There was a time I thought, well, bless God, we just need to do it. And I don't need more character and discipline, but I do need more grace. I do need more grace. I do need God to do some things in me that I cannot do on my own. And I claimed as my life verse a couple of years ago, and I'm still holding out. I've got a number of life verses, depending on what day it is. I got favorite songs, too, that changes a couple of times during each day. But Micah 6:8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And oh, what it is just to walk in God's grace. I'm thankful for God's grace. We had a theme some time ago, that we still have it on our website and things of, remember what it is, learn to pray and stay in church and stay in your Bible. I'm not sure, is that the right order? Or is it stay in your Bible and stay in church? We should have the Bible in there first, but no, I just stay in church or learn to pray, stay in church and stay in your Bible, and everything will be okay. Everything will be fine. You know, I've watched too many times, and I've seen it in my own life, when I get out of church, when I get out of the Bible, when I'm not praying like I should, that's when things fall apart. And I know that a lot of decisions made at the revival meeting last week. I was going to take time for testimonies tonight, but I'm just trying to get through the message so we can get to work this evening. And I've encouraged you to join on our prayer journey. I can't tell you the half of what God's been doing in my own prayer life. As I just shared with you, and again, the Bible has the answers. Jesus said, look, Lord, teach us to pray. Sad thing is, most people think they're okay in their prayer life. Our prayer life is hurting, and therefore we don't have the power that we ought to have. And I'm asking you to join in a prayer journey with me. As you learn to pray the way Jesus taught his disciples to pray. And I hope that you've been practicing that. I hope that you've been studying that and learning to pray with Jesus. Just that simple outline I gave you. And of course, we've got all kinds of books on prayer. We've got all kinds of messages on prayer, but do we pray? And we know a lot about prayer, but do we pray? And I've never been more challenged in my life than I have in recent months to pray earnestly and know how to get a hold of God. Psalm 119 is a psalm whose it's the longest of the psalms in the book of Psalms. What's the theme of Psalm 119? Does somebody tell me? It's mentioned almost every verse. I think there's two verses depending on what you want to classify as the word. Garrett, what is it? It's about the Bible, the Word of God. Psalm 119, the longest psalm. And then after that is 15 psalms. And by the way, this is something that God just showed me as a part of my prayer journey. And this is something that's transformed the way I come into church, the way I come into God's house. The next 15 chapters of Psalm, so Psalm 120 to 134, are what? The Psalms of Degrees. They're to be read and prayed as we enter God's house. I guarantee you, church won't be the same for you if you take the time to read those Psalms every time you come into the house of God. There's no question about it. The Psalms of Degrees, that's what they were written for. And again, Jesus gave us, and again, some of us grew up chanting what we call the Lord's Prayer when I was younger. It's not even a prayer, it's a message, a lesson on prayer. When we learn to pray the way Jesus taught us to pray, it'll transform our prayer life. When we learn to use the Word of God the way God designed us to use the Word of God, as we enter the house of God, it'll transform everything about our spirit, our attitude, when we come to church. Now, we're going to have to come a few minutes early to do that. And we have to start a little bit earlier, get here early to do that. But I encourage you, I can't encourage you enough to do that. And then I found that, and I've just been challenged by this as I've been growing in my prayer life and growing in my love for the Word of God all my life and being. And some people don't understand. Some folks say they're quiet, and you don't know what quiet is. And some folks say my son Aaron was quiet when he was a teenager. No, he was very outgoing compared to what I was when I was a teenager. There's some things that I've always strived to do and sought to do and never been comfortable doing it. But I found that when I'm spending the time I ought to in prayer or beginning to spend the time I ought to in prayer, and I'm still nowhere near where I ought to be. and they're spending more time in the Word of God and using the Word of God the way He commands me to, telling folks about Jesus has become a whole lot easier. And it's just something that comes natural when God does a work of grace in your life. And again, I can't challenge you enough to tell people about Jesus, but it's not, well, I need to do that. No, when we find God's grace, it just becomes natural. And I've got a long ways to go. And I ask you to pray for me that the Word of God would go forth and God would use me. And I've just been encouraging by some of the visits I've had recently. And I've learned a few things along the way. And I've challenged to write a couple of new tracks that would be helpful. But I don't know if I'll ever do that. But yeah, I'm not a writer. I can't even write a two-page track very well. So without a lot of work. But just tell people about Jesus. If it's real, you want to share it. I believe that. If you've got a real walk with God, you want to share it. Remember when you got married? You're happy to tell folks about your husband, your wife. You know, after you've been married for a while, I'm just kidding. When you're in love with someone, you're happy to tell people about them. You're happy to share. Think when you have a relationship and a walk with folks, with God, it's the same thing. Now, I want to talk to you tonight, and you may have seen the display. Oh, there's a display over there. No, I just set up an extra table, so we have something else to move in a little bit. So, I've been thrilled about this. And again, if you're joining in the prayer journey, if you're getting into the Word of God, and even I challenge you to the Psalms of Degrees, and let God do that work in your life, and you'll find yourself desiring to tell others about Jesus. And you'll find that you can't get enough of the Bible. You have a hunger and thirst for God's Word that was never there before. And sometimes it seems like preachers are twisting people's arms to tell them to read the Bible, to study the Bible. That's just a natural result of walking with God. You can't walk with God without that. I want you to turn in your Bible to start with tonight. And this is a theme for the Amboy School of the Bible. I just want to share some things with you tonight concerning that in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Oh, how we love the Word of God. Father, we love You. We love You, Jesus, for dying for us, for interceding for us today before the throne of God. I love You, Holy Spirit, as You are the very person of God who lives in us. What an amazing thing that is to know that God is living in us. What an awesome thing to think of. What a fearful thing to think of. God, I pray that You would teach us to know Your presence, to take control of our lives. And as the disciples gathered in that upper room and fasted and prayed for 10 days, digging into the Word of God on their faces before You in prayer, and You poured out the Holy Spirit upon them, God, we can experience that same power. The day of Pentecost is never to be repeated. But Lord, that power, that same power is available to us. God, if we would just get out of Your way and let You work in us. God, I pray that You would teach us to love Your Word. To love that sweet fellowship that we can share with You. As we learn to pray, as we get into the Word of God, and Lord, it will just be natural for us to tell others about You. And God, forgive us for our indifference and coldness. And God, I want to do everything I can, the time You give me left on this earth, to make that right and to change that. And I realize I can't do it on my own. Tried for years, but it's just impossible. I can't live the Christian life. I can't love. I can't forgive. I can't do anything for God without your grace. I'm undeserving. Lord, we're undeserving of your goodness. Thank you for the Word of God. God, that we would learn to love the Word of God. What a transformation that would make in our lives. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verses 1 and 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's a great statement there. Be strong in what? Grace. What is grace? God doing in me and through me what is humanly impossible. It starts with salvation, but it goes on from there. Be strong in the grace of God. We're to be constantly in the process of being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. You say, I can't do that. No, you can't. Not apart from the grace of God. Be strong in grace. Every day living closer to Him. Every day growing in grace and knowledge of the Word of God. And then verse number 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Now, this is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, a co-worker, a younger man, a preacher boy, if you will, that he's trained and now established him in a church, in the ministry. He says, the same thing which you've heard of me among many witnesses, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. I'm so glad that Timothy obeyed that. I'm so glad that Christians through the ages have obeyed that. Otherwise, we would have no gospel today. There would not be a church anywhere in the world today if folks didn't take that to heart and didn't obey that. Be a faithful teacher. Well, God's not called me to preach. It doesn't say anything in there about calling you to preach. We're to be a faithful minister, a faithful teacher, and commit to faithful men. We can be faithful. You know, we may not have the ability to do many things that we desire to do, but we can be faithful. It doesn't take a great deal of knowledge. It doesn't take a great deal of character, really, to be faithful. Just be faithful and let God work. And God says, commit this to faithful men. That's the theme verse for the Amboy School of the Bible that we want to talk to you for a little bit tonight. In verse number 3, and note in verse number 4, I'm just going to read through these and comment on them, and then we're going to give you some things that I think will be a practical help for you and encouragement to you. In verse number 3 and 4, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man warreth and tangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We need to be dedicated soldiers. You know, so we heard some amazing stories from Brother Martin about soldiers. I can't imagine being that kind of a soldier. But where are the soldiers for Jesus Christ? You know, I love to read biographies of Christians that God has greatly used. Great Christians, if you call them that. I think they would probably be offended if they were able to get offended that you call them great Christians, because there's no such thing as a great Christian. They're just humble servants. But God greatly used them because they were faithful soldiers. They were willing to endure hardships that we can't even imagine today, just like I can't imagine going through the battlefield, the things that Brother Martin talked about with those two soldiers he told us about the other night. I can't, and I read those biographies and I think, how can I even call myself a Christian? I live such a coddled, such an easy life today. But we're to endure hardness as a good soldier. And then in verse number 5, he says, and if any man strive for the mastery, strive in the competition. He's talking about athletic events here. Yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully according to the rules, according to striving an athlete, disciplining yourself, building character, and giving your all for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I can identify a little bit with that, being involved in athletics most of my life. We're to press forward to the prize of the high calling of God. We're to reach out and do all we can to serve Him. And then verse number 6, notice he says, the husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruit. We're feasting on the harvest. If we're going to share Christ, we're going to have to experience Christ first. If we're going to be a witness to God's grace, we're going to have to live in God's grace before we can share it with anyone else. We're to feast on the harvest. We're to enjoy the fellowship with God so we can share that fellowship with others. And then in verse number 7 and 8, I want to go through this whole chapter. I'm not going to go through all of it. I just want to point out a few things in this chapter. Considering what I say in the Lord, give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Be focused on the gospel. The gospel is the power of God. There's no greater power in all the world than the gospel of Jesus Christ. You think of the most destructive weapon that man could ever invent. That's nothing compared to God. Think of the things in our solar system, the energy that comes from the sun. That's nothing compared to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's available to all if we would focus on gospel and realize that that gospel is not just for the lost, it's for me. The good news that God lives in me, it's a transforming power that'll make us like the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll cause us to do things we can't do on our own, and will transform those around us. Then in verse number 9, I like this. Wherewith I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Look at that statement. Isn't that amazing? You may lock up the preacher. You may even take the preacher's head off, but the word of God's not bound. You can't lock up the word of God. You can't censor the word of God. You can't stop the word of God. You know, there's never been a book in history that's been hated more than this book. There's never been a book that has sought to destroy more than this book. But this book can't be destroyed. You can't hold back the power of the word of God. But we need to learn to do is just turn the word of God loose in our life. Just get our hearts and our lives filled with the word of God and see what it will do. That's why I encourage you when you come into the house of God, spend that time to use those verses, the Psalms and degrees that God designed to use when we enter the presence of God and the house of God. You'd be amazed what that does in your life when you just turn the word of God loose in your life. You're amazed what you do if you just come into the house of God and take a deep breath and maybe spend a second or two in prayer stop screaming at the kids and the wife and the husband and things for a few moments just so you can gather your thoughts together and sit down and listen to something. But even more so when you let the word of God begin in your heart. And God will take that word and it'll pierce into our the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. It'll show us things that we never thought before. In fact, quite often when I'm getting ready to preach, I come in out this morning. I read through those Psalms of Degrees this morning again. I thought, wow, I want to preach on that one right there. God, can I use that one there? No, that one's just for you. That's a little something for you to get you through the day. God will do that. Just turn the Word of God loose. Let the Word of God transform your life. And then jump down all the way to verse number 15 and 16. What's that first word? What? You mean we got to study? What? I thought we just came for the fun and games in church. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they shall increase unto more ungodliness. You know what verse number 16 is? Shut your TV off. Quit reading the newspaper. Turn the radio off. Turn Facebook off. Get off social media and get into the word of God. Just cut that all off and get into the Word of God and let the Word of God turn the Word of God loose in your life. And I've determined that more than ever before, I'm going to focus on nothing but the Word of God and having a prayer life with God, having a relationship with God, and just see what God can do. God takes me home tomorrow, that's fine. God gives me 5 more years, 10 more years, 20 more years to serve Him, I'm going to do everything I can to this book and to prayer. When I do that, I know that God will transform my life. He'll transform the way I think, the way I behave, and the things that I do. Basically, in verse number 15 and 16, I could just word it this way. I jotted down a note next to those verses. Keep your nose in the book. Keep your nose in the book. Keep on your face before God and keep your nose in the book. I know the Bible says that somewhere find it in the Bible. Now, I want to introduce you tonight to the Amboy School of the Bible. All that's just an introduction. There's a paper over there. I don't know if anybody grabbed one when you came in here. Oh, boy. We got something new. We got another program. Oh, this is something better than that. The School of the Bible, what is this all about? I've said some things about it. Let me just, there's a paper over there I want you to take. I want you to share. And what I'm going to do with these, I'm going to share these with everybody I can. I'm going to send them to churches in the area. And let me just explain what this is. If we have a desire to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, here's our opportunity. What is the School of the Bible? The School of the Bible is a training program that helps believers. Are you a believer tonight? This will help you expand your understanding of the Bible. This will help you to rightly divide the Word of Truth, to understand the Bible better. But why do we want to understand the Bible? So that we can share it with others, so that we can tell others about Christ, so that we can better walk with God, so that we can be a better influence to those in our Sunday school class or bus route or our co-workers or family members, so we can be a better Christian. It's designed for members and workers in local churches, not just our church, but any church, folks that are saved. This includes deacons and Sunday school teachers and youth children's workers, or Bible study leaders, and many others who simply desire to deepen their knowledge of the Bible and to be more effective in their witness for the Lord. Wouldn't you like to win your neighbors to the Lord? Wouldn't you like to win your co-workers? Well, I'm just not sure what to say. They're going to ask me a question that I don't know how to answer. There's where the grace of God comes in. You know, God's been showing me many times as I get ready to go out and knock on doors that sometimes we got to have a plan all memorized. And God says, hey, don't think ahead of time what you're going to say. Just trust in me. I'll give you the words to say. And we'll lead the right people. This, of course, I mentioned it before, and the paper there explains it. This program began, I hesitate to even use the word program, I don't like that, but this particular, what they call the School of the Bible, began out of Temple Baptist Church, not Tennessee Temple, Temple Baptist Church, Powell, Tennessee, with Clarence Sexton. That's where Nathan went to school, that's where Alex went to school. I don't know, can anything good come out of Tennessee? Alex and Nathan, I don't know. I'm not sure if anything good can come out of that. They, of course, have made this curriculum available, and many other churches have been using it and found it useful in training Christian workers in their communities, not just in their church. And the school is open to anyone that desires a better understanding of the Bible. Regardless of their church affiliation, if they're saved and they want to understand the Bible, the school is open for them. In fact, I want to make it very clear that our focus is on the fundamental belief that this is the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord, I'm purposely going to make it a point that we're not going to dwell on the differences between different what's called denominations in Christians, or individual congregations. Well, this is the way we do it. This is the way that's... sometimes those things become so divisive where they ought not to be. And we're just going to focus on the Bible. And primarily the lessons are going to be taught by myself. The curriculum is made available to pastors to use. I'm greatly looking forward. I've looked over much of it already. And we'll spend some more time digging into it a little bit deeper. The admission requirements, first of all, it's for students of all ages. Someone asked me, am I too old? You're not too old. If you're still breathing, you're not too old. If you are, I may make exceptions for this for the younger students, but primarily juniors and seniors in high school on up. I may make an exception or two for others that are serious about being involved, and there's no previous educational experience or credential required of the students. And the enrollment, again, is for all who desire to know the Word of God. If you're here tonight, I hope you desire to know the Word of God. And I hope you'll make a commitment to be a part of this. And what it consists of, the graduation requirements, I'm just looking at the sheet here and going over a few things. The graduation requirements, students must complete all 12 courses offered throughout the School of the Bible in order to graduate. Now, each semester, we're going to teach three classes. And we'll get to that in a little bit. If you finish all 12 courses, that would be three classes for four semesters or 2 years. You'll get a frameable, suitable for framing, Bible studies certificate. I'm not sure what that looks like, but I know it'll be great. It'll be the best certificate you ever have. Huh? You might put it in your file with my ordination and my college diploma, but anyways. It'll be something that worth. And if you want to, and you're certainly encouraged to, if you desire to, you can go down to Crown College and actually get a cap and gown, I think for $25, and walk the graduation line and have Pastor Sexton shake your hand and say, "Well done, my son." That's something that anybody who desires to do that can do that. But it is required that you attend. Each class meets for 40 minutes. For 12 class sessions, and you have to be there at least 10. By the way, if you have a desire to be there, you'll be there. It'll mean something. I hope it'll mean something to you. And let me just, again, mention as far as the schedule. We're going to start. Each semester meets for 12 evenings. On Monday nights, the classes meet for 40 minutes each. Please be punctual. Please be faithful. And God rewards that in our lives. And students are encouraged but not required to attend each of the three classes. You don't have to come to all three classes. We'll tell you what the three are that we're doing the first semester in a minute. But it would be good if you came to all three of them. It's not going to be an excessive amount of work. It's going to be Bible college light. All right? We've got a lot of things that we're going to do, and really it's just a basic education, a fundamental teaching of the Word of God. And of course, the classes will be here at the church, and the fall semester will start the first Monday after Labor Day in September and go for 12 weeks. Now, each semester we'll have to adjust the calendar a little bit because of special meetings and things that we have. We might miss a Monday and add one at the end of the year, or weather and things like that may cause the schedule to change a little bit. The cost of the materials is $25 a class, or $60 for all three classes each Monday night. And what that means, well, that takes me out for supper. No, it doesn't. That really covers the cost of the materials that we have. You get a nice notebook. The notebooks for the three classes we're doing are right over there on the table. You're more than welcome to look at them. You'll get a notebook if you enroll in the class. And I will say this, that each person attending the class must be enrolled in the class. You say, well, I can make copies of making my own notebook up. Well, you can't do it for cheaper than what they're made, and then you will have them. And you need to be enrolled in the class to attend the class, and it's $25 a class or $60 if you take all three of them. The cost will include a notebook. There is an additional textbook, which averages, and I'll explain this, it averages about $15 a class per semester for the added textbook, and I say that because two of the books over there, the first two of the three classes, the textbook you buy is going to be more than $15, but you'll use it for two semesters. So it averages $15 for each one. And the textbook is not mandatory. I recommend that you have one per family, you can share those. We'll have one of them available in the library if you're fast enough to get it before somebody else. It would be very helpful. It's not required for you to read that book, but it would sure be helpful if you read that book a lot. And it's not a lot of reading. And it's something that would be tremendously helpful for you to participate in and follow along. Say, well, I've been to Bible college. You know what? I've been to Bible college too. I never tire of studying the Word of God. In fact, I study some of the most basic doctrines, and every time I learn something new. Don't think, well, I've already been to Bible college. I don't need this. You're missing a blessing. You're missing an opportunity. The classes that we're going to do the first semester are, first of all, classes are all outlined, or descriptions of the classes are given for the entire 12 classes. The three that we're going to focus on the first semester in the first hour, which will be from 7 o'clock to 7:40 in the evening. I wish we could start earlier, but that's about as early as we can start for people to get here after work. Will be basic Bible doctrine 1, which will give you a clear biblical teaching of subjects like bibliology. What? You'll learn how to spell that by the end of the semester, all right? Which is the study of what? The Bible. And theology, which is the study of what? God. And Christology, which is a study of, think about it, Christ. Pneumatology, I don't know this, he probably has some pneumatic tools. It's a study of what? The Holy Spirit. Angelology, which guess what that studies? Maybe angels. The Bibles are, the Bible answers are given to commonly asked questions concerning the Christian faith. This is Bible. Now, if you were to go to Bible college and in more in-depth study, you would have a whole semester class or maybe more on each one of those subjects. And instead of a chapter of a book, you'll have a couple of books that you've got to read. And there's really not any outside work other than the recommendation that you read the textbook. I encourage you to get one of those and read along. And then the second hour, which will be 7:45 to 8:25. Again, they're 40-minute classes, and we're going to be prompt. We're going to stick to it. That is a survey of the Old Testament 1. That, of course, is two parts, two semesters. The study of the book of books of the law, which are what? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch. By the way, the book of Genesis, I remember being required to read a commentary on Genesis that was just about a classic book by Henry Morris, The Genesis Flood, that's about that thick, that only covers three chapters of Genesis. But it'll be one of the books. We're not going to require you to do that. There is one in the library if you want to read it. There's some very helpful things there that'll help you to understand what the Bible is all about. And then it'll also cover the first semester of the historical books, which are Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, the Old Testament. And the main theme of each book will be highlighted, the significant features, including key words and key phrases and pictures of Christ throughout those books. This will be helpful for everyone to understand. You can never get enough of this. And then personal evangelism. In fact, I've already read through the book and the lessons on that, and they are tremendous. And I was thrilled the way that it was presented. Some practical instruction in witnessing to unbelievers and leading them to Jesus Christ. The emphasis is laid on key Bible principles relating to evangelism. And students are taught how to use their personal testimony in witnessing and how to present the gospel clearly. You ever wonder, well, what am I going to say? By witness, you know, that's a favorite thing the devil's going to throw at you. Well, what do I say? What if they have a question? You know, if you're saved, you already know all the answers that you need to know to share the gospel. If you've experienced salvation, you know enough how to lead somebody to the Lord. You just need the confidence and the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. I won't read through all the other classes. There's also a class that we will give you, the methods of Bible study. The survey of the Old Testament 2 and the basic Bible doctrines 2 and teaching the Bible in the Christian home and the survey of the New Testament 1 and 2 and then the New Testament church and the life of Christ. I will say that the books that are used for these classes along with the notebook, and these are an extra charge and they're Again, they're not ridiculously expensive, and you can share them with family members, but I encourage you to get the books to add them to your library. They'll be a tremendous aid and a help for you later in teaching the Bible. And the basic Bible doctrine classes, if you use as a theology book by Emory Bancroft, which is just a general basic theology, it's something that you ought to have a good theology book in your library. You ought to read from a good theology book and just basic Bible theology, and then the survey of the Old Testament. I don't know, how many are you, is anybody familiar with the commentary by John Phillips? Anybody know that name? Oh man, he's a great commentator to read. I've never met him. I've met a number of people that knew him personally, and I didn't realize that he was one of us when he was alive. He's a great commentator. He's a fun writer to read. And the Exploring Scriptures, he's got a whole series. I think he's got a commentary on just about every book of the Bible, Exploring Romans, Exploring Revelation, Exploring Genesis. And this is just a general book of Exploring the Scriptures. It's just a survey of the Old Testament, and that's the book, and you'll read sections of that with the survey of the Old Testament. And then the Personal Evangelism, there's a book that goes right along with the lesson written by Clarence Sexton, Following Christ and Fishing for Men, which is a tremendous book. I don't know if Alex had to read that in school. I think Nathan had to read it in school. And I glanced through it before and just finished reading it again. And it is a tremendous little book on personal evangelism. So I want you to realize this is something that I need to get involved in. This is something that, well, you know, pastor's going to do this thing. It's just another night out. Hey, you know what? You could use another night studying the Bible. And I can't think of anything more important than that. And I cannot encourage you enough to get involved in this, to enroll. I feel like an infomercial here. This is a tremendous opportunity, and I'm praying that God would use this first and foremost in our lives. In our hearts, if we can get serious about studying the Word of God. Sometimes people say, well, I wish I would have gone to Bible college. Here's your chance. Well, I already went to Bible college. You'll be amazed what else you can learn. And you say, every time I go back and visit a Bible college and sit through some classes, I thought, man, can I just check into this place and stay here for another 5 or 6 years? You'll never get, and the more you study the Bible, the more hunger and desire you have, and then the more hunger and desire you have to share it. But if it's something that you have to do, it doesn't mean a thing. But if it's something because you love Christ and you want to know more about Him, you can't get enough of it. And that we would fall in love with the Word of God. I remember hearing when I was in college, some of my buddies talking about, and I tend to gravitate to the ones that talked about spiritual things instead of the things of the world, which there's always plenty of those folks. But I remember praying with a couple of young men in the dorm where I was at that were serious about serving God, and they said, and we often heard that one of the greatest dangers of going to Bible college is learning to study the Bible like it's a textbook and not realizing that first and foremost it's a love letter from God. And what we need more than anything else is a love for God's Word. If that love for God's Word is not there, there's no desire to study it. There's no desire to memorize it. There's no desire to dig in. But if we love the Word of God, that desire just keeps getting stronger and stronger. I've determined with all the work things going on around here, I'll put in some long hours. I know that, but I'm not going to let my Christian life suffer. We'll lose some sleep. We'll lose some meals, but we won't lose time with the Lord. And I won't put aside the time witnessing to others to do work on the building. I just determined that, but because I'm asking God to give me a love for the Word of God, and He's answering that prayer, I'm beginning to see the answers to that prayer, to have the love of the Word of God. And I remember sharing with those young men. In fact, there was a poem that we memorize together. I don't know if I could say it now without looking over. Though the cover is worn and the pages are torn and the places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book, worn and old, that can shatter and scatter my tears. When I prayerfully look in this blessed old book, many pleasures and treasures I see, many tokens of love from my Father above, who is nearest and dearest to me. This old book is my guide, 'tis a friend by my side. It will lighten and brighten each day. I can't remember the last couple of lines there. I got farther than I thought I would in it. But they taught me the importance. And I remember my pastor saying, you need to spend time in Psalm 119. Psalm 119 will teach you how to love the Word of God. Oh, that God's people would love the Word of God. But one of the greatest tragedies in our day in Christianity is the ignorance of God's people concerning the Word of God. I'm amazed sometimes in conversations with people that have been saved for a number of years that don't know answer to some of the most basic truths of the Bible. That's something you should have learned in the primary class. And we're talking about adults that don't understand. And the difference is not because of lack of education. The difference is because of a lack of a love for the Word of God. If we love the Word of God, we can't get enough of it. But the world's crying out and calling out, oh, why don't you come over here? Why don't you follow this? God says, again, to shun profane, vain babblings, for they will increase more to ungodliness. Instead, when we love the Word of God, we want to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Though I think how ashamed we're going to be. And I again read the biographies of those that knew the Word of God. I think of missionaries that couldn't afford to go to school, so they just learned by studying the Bible. But first they thought, well, I need to learn Greek first. They taught themselves Greek. And then they taught themselves Hebrew, so they could translate the Bible in a foreign language. Then they went to a foreign country without knowing a soul, without having a penny to their name sometimes, and God provided. And then they learned the language and the culture on their own. And God used them greatly. Oh, to have that today. What a difference in our world today. But we're so much smarter today, folks tell us. No, we're devolving instead of evolving. But we ought to be growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the difference really is not the schools and the education, the books and the things that we have. The difference is a love for this book. If I love this book, I can't get enough of it. God teach us to love the book and to love His people and to want to share the gospel more than life itself. There's so many things that we get distracted by. And there is a famine in our land, a famine of hearing and doing the will of God and the Word of God and knowing the Word of God. And here's just an opportunity for you to learn the Bible a little bit better. And I encourage you to participate. I can't recommend it strong enough. In fact, when I saw this, I really didn't know what the session was that I went to. I went to the session mostly because it was a teacher that Nathan had a great deal of respect to, and I wanted to see him, and I met him a couple of times back when Nathan was in college, and I just wanted to reacquaint myself with him. And I thought, wow, this is something that I've thought for 30 years a pastor ought to have in their church. But it takes a lot of work to put something like this together. And somebody's done all the work for me. How can I not do it when God answered that prayer and put it right in my lap and it's done and it's ready to go? And it's something that's trustworthy. And I just encourage you to be a part of it, to get the information pack, share it with others. I'm going to be sharing this with other churches in the area and other Christians that I know. But we need to get behind this. We need to be involved in it. We can't get enough of the Word of God. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. If